Welcome to Broadcast Advocate, a podcast from NASBA, the National Alliance of State Broadcast Associations, which discusses the latest news, trends, and stories impacting the world of broadcast, radio, and television. I'm your host, David Donovan, president of the New York State Broadcasters Association, and I'm joined today with...
Hi, I'm Jordan Walton, executive director from the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. Today, we're going to focus on the importance of college radio as the training ground for the next generation of broadcast leaders. We are delighted to have with us members of WRHU 88.7 from Hofstra University, which recently won the National Association of Broadcasters Radio Marconi Award for the best college radio station in the country.
And we're honored to have with us today a good friend, Mr. John Mullen, who's general manager of WRHU, station manager Ashley Blum, and Ricky Hubert, on-air personality and director of international programming. John, why don't we start with you? First of all, congratulations on receiving the NAB's Marconi Award as the best college station in the country. And you've won, obviously, numerous awards. You have more than 300 students that are working or have worked through your station. How do you become the best college station in the country? And how do you attract so many students to work for you?
Well, first of all, it's very kind of you to say that we're the best. I'll leave that to the organizations and to people like you and others. What I will say is WRHU is a unique student-operated college radio station. And we're unique in the fact that I am always looking for unique student-centered opportunities and partnerships. So for example, about 15 years ago, we approached the New York Islanders NHL franchise with the crazy concept that 17 to 21-year-old college students could produce and distribute their radio network. 1,100 games later and about 15, 16 years later, the students are still producing and distributing, and they're getting real world experience. They take what they learn from the stellar faculty in the classrooms, and they're applying that in a real world environment in this laboratory called student operated WRHU. Then we partnered about 10 years ago with the NBA G League Long Island Nets franchise, which is owned by the Brooklyn Nets. Same model of students producing and distributing the radio and also assisting with some of the TV broadcasts for the NBA G League. And again, the students rise to the occasions and they get unique opportunities to take what they learn in the classroom and apply it in the student-centered laboratory of WRHU. And of course, I shouldn't leave out the Long Island Ducks, the Atlantic League baseball franchise, where we produce and distribute play-by-play and color commentary, and we do Ducks Media Day with a lot of former and future major leaguers. In addition to that, I also look for opportunities. Our chief engineer, I'm very blessed to have a tremendously creative and amazing broadcaster as a chief engineer, Dr. Andy Gladding. And he was on vacation in Cape Town, South Africa with his family. And he befriended a local radio station in South Africa. And he created this One World Radio Network in a partnership, which is unique with this Cape Town radio station. So the community radio station in South Africa, and Ricky Hubert, who's on this call, who's the director of our international programming, Ricky and Andy and the crew at Bush Radio in Cape Town, they created this unique student-centered opportunity. The other thing that we do is we have an incredibly vibrant local news department. We have about 60 students who produce a live half-hour afternoon drive newscast that's modeled after 1010 Winds in New York City. It's got headlines, traffic, sports, business, just like you would find on a major market, Odyssey-type all news station. And again, it's giving the students the real world experience of going out into the field. I'm very big in pushing the students out of the studios into the field. So that's what I'll say about being unique. In terms of recruiting, over the last 21 years, I'm in my 21st year at Hofstra. I've always made it a point to attend all the open houses where the new recruits are coming in from high school. Just like a Division I college basketball coach, one at a time, I recruit the blue chip high school prospects and I convince them. I ask them what their dream is. What's your dream? Is your dream to be a morning host, a production person, a marketing, social media? What is your dream? And we kind of talk, and one by one, I convince them to join the radio station and where they can move their careers forward in this laboratory where they can experiment, they can serve the community while earning some awards and recognition and utilizing these student-centered opportunities. And that's how we do it. And the real secret to our success, the real secret to having a large staff, is that high school students and college students love over-the-air radio. They really do. If high school students and college students did not like over-the-air radio, I would have a staff of zero, and I have a staff over 300, because the dirty secret is students like radio.
Well, John, that's a great point. And that brings me to Ashley. Ashley, there is a general feeling that Gen Z and Gen Alpha do not listen to the radio. So do you think that's correct? And then let us know what attracted you to radio, and how do you make radio popular with students that don't work at the radio station but listen in?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you guys so much for having me to talk about all of this. It's great to be here. I think John's absolutely spot on. We wouldn't have a staff of 300 plus students unless they did love it. So I think that, if there are any general feelings that it might not be as loved within the younger generation, I would personally say that that is false. Everyone at WRHU, all the other college students that I've met across the country, we went to conferences in New Orleans. We've been reporting on site. We went to the Marconis. We met so many other college students from not just Hofstra, not just New York, but all over. And everybody kind of has the same consensus. It's, at least for me, and speaking from everyone I've heard, there's something special about radio. And I'm going to get cheesy for a second, so don't mind me, but I can't quite put my finger on it. It's like you can talk to your listener like you're an old friend. And I remember, like, as a child, my mom would be driving me around. I'd listen to Anna and Raven, I still do, or Elvis Duran in the morning, like all these shows that really inspired me. You have that just fun, like, electric feeling. And obviously, we talk about different types of radio, but from a very young age, that was something I was brought up with. And I think that a lot of people in this generation as well have been brought up with it. There's a passion for it. And the amount of creativity that you can put out there by utilizing natural sound, by creating packages, these audio projects, like, there's something so special about doing it in this medium. And that's what I've seen from everybody else. And for me, getting into radio, I got into it at a very young age. I went on the air for the first time when I was 13 years old, at a very, very small local radio station here on Long Island, after doing some volunteer work. And I met up with a producer who did his own show, and he wanted to talk to me about my life experiences. I lost my father to cancer when I was younger, so it kind of stemmed from that, of wanting to share my story and go into, like, the local area of radio, which is something now at WRHU that I spend a lot of time on, as John was saying, with our local news department. So that's where I got my passion for it. I always had the spark. But I would say for other people our age, Ricky and myself, keeping them involved is super important. Showing them that there are so many unique opportunities out there, which there definitely are. I can say that I've had unmatched opportunities at WRHU for sure. And then for students who might not be on air, students who are listening, I'm a health sciences major. So I'm a perfect example of a student who might not have been, like, I guess, rustled into the comm school from the moment I entered Hofstra, but still had a love for it and found a love for it. So, I'm always talking to my friends about it, encouraging them to listen in, and just talking about there's a lot of actually unique stuff on radio, in my opinion, you can't get anywhere else.
Well, Ricky, let's turn to you because you're both on air and you're director of international programming. So what do you like best about being on air? And I'm intrigued as to the types of international programming you look at and how you connect that and how do you connect with students?
Well, that was a multi-part question, David, and thank you for
Right.
asking it. And thank you for having us. But we'll talk about on air first. I really enjoy it. It's kind of my fun part of the week when I get to go on the air and I do my music slots. And what's fun about that for me getting the other students involved. I have a bit of a reputation, David, of roping in people in the hallways to come in and speak on the air. Ashley's come, many unsuspecting people, friends of mine who've come on the air, and people
Perfect.
looked forward to it. It was like weekly tradition. They'd come on and they'd talk, and it's fun. It's just fun for me playing the music and telling the stories, reading off things. It's just a lot of fun for me. Going back to what we were talking about with producing our One World show, which again, Dr. Gladding, God bless him, he came up with this, and John and everybody over at RHU. What I've been really enjoying that is connecting with the people that we've been working with at Bush Radio in Cape Town, South Africa. And we get people, different perspectives and different stories. We did a show about Ukraine last week. We've had people come on from the United Nations to talk about global warming and what's going on in the planet. We've had different organizations from Bush come down. We've had people who are from affiliates of the Points of Light, which is a global organization that President George Bush, the father, not the son, started. So just really different walks of life have come on and shared their stories with Save the Children, which is a global nonprofit with kids all over the world. We've done really interesting things. So I've been having a really interesting time with that, learning different things. And the music and the on-air stuff is just fun. So it's a very good combination of the both.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Great work, Ricky.
Thank you, David.
John, college is about preparing students for their future careers, and you act as a bridge between the academic and the commercial world and have been very successful in placing students in broadcasting. What steps should the industry take to help develop the next generation of broadcasters?
The best thing that over-the-air radio, TV stations, and networks can do is be compelling. Have great personalities who are engaging and informing using imagination, showmanship, and creativity, like the great program directors Scott Shannon, Frankie Crocker, Bill Tanner, Steve Smith from Hot 97. The best thing the industry can do is be imaginative, creative, showmanship, compelling, timely, great contests, outstanding, compelling events like Jingle Ball. The things that the industry can do is just be attractive so that a student who's kindergarten through 12th grade can say, I want to be a part of that one day. And I think that personally, as a former New York City program director, where music was the emphasis on the stations that I programmed, I will tell you that now in 2025, the most important thing is personality, personality, personality. We want to be, I think it was Y100 program director Bill Tanner who said, predictable unpredictability. Which was the secret of the Howard Stern show for many years, predictable unpredictability. I think radio over the air has gotten too much into the formula. And the challenge is now for music, you have Spotify and you have these other platforms. So I really believe that over the air radio, people like to say live and local. I like to say human. I think that over the air radio, as my boss and friend Frankie Crocker once said, the radio is the human best friend of the listener. And Frankie once said to me, some lonely people listen to the radio, and the radio becomes your friend. It's very personal. So as long as over the air radio stations, if I were programming a major market radio station, and this is going to sound crazy, I might have them talking after every record. I might have them talking after every two records. I think over-the-air radio, imagination and showmanship in the production elements, like the great Scott Shannon had on his stations, I think that's compelling and important. So I think the things that made radio great all along for over 100 years are the things that radio needs to do, and that will compel and attract the young people. Like I was telling you about my chief engineer, Andy Glanning, he purchased a station, WKZE in Red Hook, and he had high school students interviewing veterans on the air. And it created an enormous buzz in the local community because it was predictable unpredictability and it was just fun. I guess the word is fun. So as long as the stations remain fun and creative, they'll attract the next generation of broadcasters naturally.
John, that's a great answer. And Ashley, we're talking about the future and how to attract folks. You're the station manager right now. Do you intend on pursuing, taking John's advice and pursuing a career in station management or on air? What are your career goals? What would attract you to go forward with this?
So my path is an interesting one. As I said, I got into radio when I was very young, and from that moment fell in love with it. I picked Hofstra in largely because of WRHU, in all honesty. When I toured, the minute I walked in that studio, I was like, yeah, this is it for me. So I knew that this was something that I wanted to pursue. But also, like I said, I'm a health sciences major. I always had an interest in healthcare policy, healthcare ethics. I grew up around that as well with my family. And so I kind of developed like this tandem passion for both. And so when it came to WRHU, John, he's phenomenal, by the way, helped me to kind of merge those passions together. And that's when I started working on our morning show and our news department. I revamped our women's show. And I started doing interviews in relation to that, talking about these issues that were important to me and important on the air. So right now I'm applying to law school to become an attorney for medical malpractice and healthcare law.
Wow.
But I really eventually would love to be an on-air personality and have my own broadcast, my own show, highlighting those issues. Like John said, like the sky's the limit with radio. You could talk about anything. I love that there's the opportunity to have so much uniqueness and so much room and space to work and so many different crowds that will listen in. So ideally, I'd like to continue to merge those two passions together, and come up with something a little bit not unprecedented, but just something unique of my own one day. But yeah, I absolutely plan to stay in radio. I can't picture my life without it again. I know that might sound a little cheesy, but it's true. I look forward to it. I enjoy it more than pretty much anything else. So hopefully one day, fingers crossed, I can do both and help educate people as well.
Well, good luck in
Good.
both of those goals.
Thank you.
So, Ricky, it's been a little while since I've been in college, and I remember when I was back in the day, it was a little hard to look forward and think about where I would be in 5 or 10 years. But where do you see yourself in 5 years, and are you looking for a career in broadcasting moving forward?
I think in 5 years, I hope to be at some working in some capacity in broadcasting. And this is where I'll tie in. RHU not only gives you incredible opportunities at RHU itself, but it gives you incredible opportunities to intern and do different things outside of there. I've been very fortunate this fall that I've gotten to intern with the Broadcasters Foundation of America, which is in New York City. And so I've got to learn a lot from people like Tim McCarthy and Peter Doyle and Emily Baird and Jen Palma, which it's just a great group here. And what I've noticed is that we have Katz Media down the hall. And something that's very big with the BFOA now is that we're all broadcasters. John is a broadcaster. John's not on the air, but John's a broadcaster. Andy Gladig is on the air. He's a broadcaster. Kathleen Chortis, our operations manager, is fabulous. She's a broadcaster. People down the hall at Katz, which is advertising and TV and radio. And you have the RAB and iHeart's upstairs. And so I really just think it's been such an eye-opening experience for me, the whole thing, RHU, then coming into the building in West 55th twice a week and seeing all the different avenues that a career in broadcasting can take, even stuff with like David and you guys with the associations. There are so many different jobs in broadcasting that I don't think when I came into college that I looked at as broadcasting jobs. I just looked at something like Elvis Duran or Carol Miller or someone like that who gets on the air and speaks. That's what I looked at as broadcasting, not realizing that it's a whole group of people who take the creativity with different sectors of the business and get to have a career in this crazy thing called broadcasting. So I'd like to do that at some point out of school, and I hope to be that by 5 years from now, and that's where I see myself going in the world of broadcasting.
Well, Ricky, that's a great answer. Let's throw a question out to all three of you. This video, by and large, goes to state broadcasting associations that represent stations across the entire country. What can the state broadcasters do to help develop and move the next generation forward? So I'll throw that out to all of you. But why don't we start with John? Your thoughts on that. What can state broadcasting associations do?
Well, I think the first thing that state broadcasters have to do is advocate to keep AM and FM free in automobiles. And the reason I say that is because I have many teenage and young adult people in my family, and today they still go into that car and it's easy and free, and they get great content by putting on over-the-air radio. So I think it's mission critical to have free AM and FM in autos, because that will attract interest because it's free and easy and great content. I think the second thing is to continue to do what the state broadcasters are doing. I know that David offers free SBE, Society of Broadcast Engineering training and sales training. Those free seminars are vital because they help, they work well with what's taught in the classroom, and they help the students get a boost and an edge and see the exactly what's happening in the industry. I think that internships, giving broadcasters incentives to help have interns and seminars and guest speakers and stuff like that. And I also think that the state broadcasters can help with job placement for entry-level positions. I'm not talking about, senior positions, but the job boards that they provide, and also the award ceremonies where the students get to network. Every year we look forward to the New York State Broadcasters Awards ceremony because our student broadcasters get to meet the people that inspire them, and I think that's really important.
Ashley?
I think that John stole the words right out of my mouth. I completely agree. I think giving students like Ricky and I the opportunity to throw our name in the hat, get the experience, meet the pros that we look up to most. I mean, I think it's, you can learn so much in a classroom, but when it comes down to it, you have to, and not just at WRHU, but out in the rest of the industry, you have to do what you're passionate about, what you're training for. So absolutely, internships, part-time jobs, entry-level jobs, and just continuing to have faith in us students. Because I mean, I've met some of the most talented students at WRHU. The talent crop is just, it's unmatched, not just at Hofstra, but I mean, it's incredible. So continuing to have faith in us, and letting us be the little sponges that we are coming in and, learning from you guys, I think that that's invaluable. You can't take that away. It's, you can't replace that with anything else.
Ricky, your thoughts on what we can do to help the next generation?
What's great about a lot of the State Broadcast Association is that they, on their websites, they have like job listings and job opportunities and things. I know it's on New York State broadcasters. I believe Illinois, same thing. I just having like those resources for students to go on who are say, oh, I was at this ceremony. Now I can see the website. Then you go, oh, the training is there. The resources are there. The resources are there. So I think that's just a wonderful opportunity for people like myself and Ashley and other student colleagues of ours across the country with the different associations to look and see, because people want to work, essentially. That's like tried and true. It's all this time. People want to get out of school. They want to work in something they're passionate about. And what's great is that they have different jobs for different sectors of the broadcasting industry. So I just think having those resources there is so helpful. That's really what I'd like to say on that subject.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We want to thank John, Ashley, and Ricky for joining us on this episode of Broadcast Advocate. And once again, congratulations on your big Marconi win. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast through our YouTube channel or the audio version of Broadcast Advocate wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. To learn more about the National Alliance of State Broadcasters Associations, find us online at nasbaonline.net. For David Donovan and our producer, Kyle Geisler, I am Jordan Walton. Stay tuned for our next episode of Broadcast Advocate.